Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this Sunday, as we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration, the season of Epiphany comes to an end, along with the time of Christmas. And so in that light, we begin the sermon with these words, familiar that they are. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. These words from Wesley's Hark the Herald Angels Sing highlight the great theme of the Christmas season and celebration, the incarnation of the only Son of God. As the second person of the triune God takes on the nature of man, he veils himself in human flesh. The eternal glory of God Almighty is hidden in the infant Son of Mary, the Lord Jesus himself. That theme of incarnation and veiledness of the Son of God continues on throughout Jesus' ministry, on through his passion, his death, his resurrection, and on into the ministry of the church, even today. The glory of God remains hidden in the physical. Those baptized within the sacramental waters, and those fed with the sacramental bread and wine. As the world beholds this veiled nature of God, the believer sees beyond the veil with eyes of faith and beholds the hidden nature of our God. While glimpses of that divine nature in Jesus come forth in his teachings, in his preaching, and in his healing of the sick, casting out of the dead, casting out of the demons and raising of the dead, three of Jesus' disciples are treated with a vision that far surpasses the rest. 6 days after Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that our Lord takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain by themselves. And suddenly, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. To further solidify the reality of what they had seen, Peter later wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, "We were eyewitnesses to his majesty." What Peter, James, and John witnessed was the divine nature of Jesus shining through, unveiled in flesh, the Godhead see. More was revealed in Jesus' unveiled state. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and those two Old Testament giants stood there talking with Jesus in his transfigured state. Out of sheer terror for what they were beholding with their own eyes, Peter spoke his infamous words, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Mark narrates for us that Peter really had no clue what to say at that tremendous sight. But Peter could not just keep quiet and watch. Neither could someone else. A cloud overshadowed them, and a voice boomed forth from the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Without a doubt, Peter, James, and John recognized this as the voice of God the Father, as he had made himself known so many times in the past before. But when the voice was done speaking, All was quiet once more, and all was as it was before. The clock had struck midnight, and all that was left was Jesus. No more shining clothes, no more Elijah and Moses, no more divine cloud. The veil was back in place. And rightfully so. For this was not to be a permanent change for Jesus at this time. And the chosen three were not to tell anyone about this amazing event until after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, which these disciples still had a hard time believing would actually take place. These men were permitted to catch a glimpse of Jesus' divine nature and to hear God's word of approval on this, their Jesus, their teacher. But that was it. Jesus was back to normal. Normal for Jesus. He resumed his ministry. And right away, as they come down the mountain, he was confronted with a demonic possession that required his great power. And he continued to use that power to bring the kingdom of heaven near to the people, knowing full well that man cannot get close to the kingdom on his own. It must be brought to them. Jesus' divine nature, his great power as Son of God, remained veiled in the flesh. Our sinfulness is like a veil. It darkens everything for us. The most amazing moment that you can experience in this life is tinged with the knowledge that it will not last forever. Your greatest successes are not as lustrous because your steps to get there or less than holy. Man's corrupted nature, broken state, keeps some from ever seeing their children or their grandchildren from growing up. Plenty of food on the table one day could be followed by only crumbs to scrounge the next. Friendships can end seemingly overnight. Reputations can degrade from sweet to sour. The forgiveness you receive in the words of absolution are forgotten by lunchtime. Consumption of the body and blood of Jesus is replaced by the eating of sandwich and chips. Assurances of life everlasting, forgiveness of sins, salvation disappear into the past. Peter, James, and John had to descend the Mount of Transfiguration. They had seen the astounding truth of Jesus' identity as the second person of the Holy Trinity in their own flesh with their own eyes. But that high was over. Back down to the darkened, hurtful, sinful world below. Jesus had revealed his glory to them, but had hidden it once more. What could they possibly do to get him to reveal that glory again? How could they see that miraculous sight once more? How can we make things right in our own lives? How can we make the good times last and the terrible times disappear? The answer to our questions is the answer to the disciples' questions. Jesus, in his hidden form, would unashamedly and unexpectedly reveal his glory once more on the cross. Only this time, what was revealed about the holy God is his steadfast love and compassion for his people. the eternal Father, strong to save, put his only begotten Son on the outstretched arms of the cross. Hammer and nail drove through the human flesh of God. Such crude tools were used to spill forth the glory of God in Jesus. Once more, as the very lifeblood of our God spilled forth onto the earth. Wounds in Jesus' flesh were openings in the veil of his majesty to allow his glory to shine forth. And with the spear that pierced our Lord's side, both water and blood flowed from Jesus, Son of God. Those great liquids splashed out upon the earth, crossing over all time and space, as that water fills each baptismal font and that blood each communion cup. Though seen as only humble water and humble wine by the unbelieving world around us, the eyes of faith given to us through the word of Christ see the glory of God in, with, and under the bread, the wine, and the water of the holy sacraments. And you and I will leave this sanctuary on this Transfiguration Sunday once more and return to our normal God-given lives. The freshness of these moments of hearing the words of Jesus' transfiguration will dissolve into a fog. Hopelessness and despair, frustration and anger will accompany each and every sin that comes forth from our wicked hearts once more. But every time that you hear the word of the gospel in your personal devotions, in your Bible study, in your prayers, each time you come back here to this place to receive the words of absolution from the pastor as from God himself, and each time you eat and you drink the body and blood of Jesus, each time you celebrate the transfiguration of Jesus. For in these very gifts of God, you see his glory bright and clear, even as you receive the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your souls. God has given these gifts for you, word and sacrament, to keep you in the faith unto life everlasting, where he wants you with him forever. Until that last day, you have those gifts. That day when you behold Jesus face to face, unveiled in flesh, the Godhead you shall see. Then, for all eternity. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus. Amen.